Right, so let's talk about something that I'm sure you guys were waiting for, and that's going to be Carnival celebration, both the Brazilian and the London Carnival that we have here. But just to kind of give you a very brief introduction, Carnival traditionally is a pre-Lent celebration, and the word Carnival literally means no meat. So it's about all these last few weeks just before we need to start our Lent. The tradition of Carnival is coming from Italy, where the carnival was celebrated with a different costume contest. So this is where this whole tradition of dressing up and putting different masks, costumes, wigs, things like this. You said that you've attended the Rio de Janeiro carnival previously. Is it magical, as you might imagine?
Oh, man.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, it's very easy to focus on the main parade, the parade that you see in the Sambadrome, mm-hmm. when everybody's in costume. But for me, the thing that I really, really, really loved, it was the most valuable thing for me, was seeing it in context in the communities.
Right.
In the run-up to Carnival, all of the different groups.
The preparation, isn't it? It's the main thing, actually.
I think that's the thing that people really...
Enjoy, really,
they keep coming back to the school for. It's not necessarily to parade or to compete or to win, but it's the community aspect. Brief story, when I was there this year, we went to an area called Madureira that has two of the most famous samba schools in Brazil, Portela and Imperio Serrano. They're both in that neighborhood. And one of, actually, the president of our batteria is a director at Imperio Serrano.
Okay.
Mestre Esteves, big shout out.
Shout out.
he invited me along to their, call it Ensayo Nahua, so it's like their street rehearsal. So mm-hmm. it's like a dry run of the carnival, all of the different groups.
Wear costumes as well?
Not in costume, okay. That's the only thing that... they don't do at this particular rehearsal. They're not in costume, but they do the choreography. They've got a sound system there. All of the different groups are there. The police lock off a whole big stretch of road, so they're the sort of main...
It's like London Marathon.
Yeah, literally the main street in Madureira is completely locked off. You can't drive in. That's it. 3-4 hours, Samba school does its thing, comes back, and then everything kind of returns to normal.
How long do you guys prepare for the carnival? When do you start working on your team, on your dance routine, costumes?
The way we operate is obviously slightly unique, being a samba school in London. In Rio or Brazil, Sao Paulo and any other place where there's samba, the song will be composed within a community. So there'll be maybe a few different composers who will get a brief of the theme for the year, and then they will go and compose a song, lyrics, chords, everything. And then there's a competition for the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not you can pick, as a director, the one that you like the most.
No.
The people decide.
Chosen by the community, which again can lead to all kinds of different dramas. But the song is chosen by the community. That typically happens quite early on in the carnival cycle.
Yeah, because it's one thing after another. You end the carnival and you start to prepare the next one.
Straight away.
Mm-hmm. Straight away.
Yeah.
Such a big event.
Yeah.
Yes.
What tends to happen... and because obviously our carnival cycle is 6 months out of whack with Brazil.
Yes.
They're February, sort of end of February, March, we're end of August. There's this kind of weird overlap in our cycles. So just as they finish their carnival cycle, we have our song written in Brazil. So we don't get our song, probably at most we get it about 4 or 5 months before carnival. So sort of March, yeah. Something like that, 4 or 5 months before carnival. And then in that time, and it's kind of the same for costumes as well.
So you've got do you have a creative director who kind of comes up with different ideas for your costume, for how the parades will kind of look like, who's going to go after who, you know?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is a kind of committee, isn't it? Because it's a group of people that discuss between them.
Naturally, they reach a consensus within themselves what the best way to move forward is. Our cycle, I tend to break it up in that the first portion of the year, which for us is September to about January, February, is predominantly based on at least from my perspective, in a battery, is taking on sort of new beginners, teaching them how to play teaching them the basics, getting them comfortable playing in the batteria.
And so then, how many artists, how many players can you actually have during the Notting Hill Carnival?
Players
under your reign?
In my reign, the most we've had is probably about 50.
Okay.
Which is not a small number, but compared to like what we've had, I think the biggest year I remember was like 120, which is a serious amount of people. Mm-hmm. But then even compared to like Brazil, it's like less than half. You're looking at 300.
Wow. In one samba school.
In one samba school. And that's just like the amount of like costumes and instruments there are. There are probably twice as many people in the community who can play and would like to play, but just can't because of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of work on a much more condensed time frame. We don't probably have the same amount of time to start as early, but then we don't need to prepare as much. So
you've got, I call it like different segments in the parade, right? Mm. But there's a proper word for it.
Ala.
Mm. So these are like different parts of the parade, right? Different groups. Yes. What is a float? How would you describe it?
It's actually a car.
The really big ones, like in Brazil, they just get like, they'll get like a school bus, chop the roof off, like make the sides fold down. That's like what they use for the float. I think here we don't have quite the same luxury. So we have like...
tracks.
Yeah, like sort of like a, we'll,
it's,
have
still
a,
something.
It's, oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it looks really, really impressive. Just not quite on the same scale.
Yet.
Amen.
You're getting better.
I was reading about these cars, carro allegorico. You would build like different fixtures on top of that car, right? Mm. To, I don't know, look like a crown or...
Yeah. Because
a dragon.
We're telling the story of the theme.
Yeah.
With the groups and the cars.
Yeah.
So you're trying to picture the best we can.
Yeah.
So people can understand what we are saying.
And as you guys just said, they are massive installations. So I'm sure that takes a lot of time to plan and build as well.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure that it's safe to put on the road later on in the carnival. Yeah. Who's at the very front of the parade?
Comissão do French. So that's like a group, probably the only, well, in Rio is probably the only group of like professionals, like proper professional dancers that are in the parade.
With our queen, right?
No, the queen.
Actually, yeah, because the queen goes through this competition to get there.
Okay.
But we actually get people that are trained to perform a specific choreography.
Yeah, and that choreography will be like integral to the theme. So the idea is that as the first thing you see is this choreography that explains the whole theme and then sets up the rest of the parade.
Okay.
As it passes you.
So is it like chapter after chapter of a book?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay.
Exactly that. So it's a really...
it's really complex, actually.
Yeah, very, very much so, because it'd be very easy to make the thing like just we'll put this here, we'll put that there, we'll put this there. But everything is very, very considered, especially in relation to, as we said, like the theme and the order of the parade.
It's okay. So at the front you've got the most experienced dancers and artists. Who's at the very back of the group of the parade?
Usually it will vary from group to group. So sometimes, depending on how they want to order, it will usually be like, to use like a Notting Hill Carnival euphemism, like a jump up ala. So it's an ala that you don't necessarily have to be able to dance, you don't necessarily have to be able to play, you just have to be able to like have a good time, animate, sing the samba.
Sounds very good. I think I would join this part of the parade.
So it's the ala where experience the carnival and you have like the minimum responsibility, let's say. All you have to learn is the song.
I've read, maybe this is just the Brazilian case, that you have a very, very important group.
Veleguada.
This is the old guard.
Yes.
These are the people who
are
like...
The veterans. I've read that they have to be there during the carnival.
100%.
And they are celebrated. Yep. You know, people take pictures with them.
Yep.
They have a very, I would say, minimalistic costume. Either they would wear like a suit.
Single color.
That is exactly what he said. People are just having fun and enjoy because they already been putting so much energy in the school for years. And now they are just having fun.
Yeah.
You know,
I've read a really nice expression about them when they've been called the soul of the samba school.
Yeah. You do really feel it. Another quick Brazil story. Did I tell you I was in Brazil earlier? me and a couple of my friends, we were in the Sambadrome, and we were there for like the technical rehearsals, kind of like the street rehearsal. But in the Sambadrome, again, not really in costume. Maybe you'd wear the shoes, but mostly just you'd probably wear like a t-shirt of your school, white trousers, so you look presentable, but not really in costume. It's free to go to, so that's kind of like, it's almost like the community carnival. That's when the community celebrates, so they'll all come out to see their favorite schools, and it will be organized exactly like the parade. So it's the same order, take the same amount of time. We were watching Viradouro and Salgueiro. Those two schools were coming past, and it was Salgueiro first, and we were really excited to see Salgueiro because it's like one of the most amazing schools in Rio. And you can hear the moment when the like the Velha Guarda or the Baianas, those two groups especially, like they're just really, really revered groups.
Who is the second group that you've mentioned?
The Baianas. The Baianas, it's almost like a Velha Guarda.
Yeah.
It's like another version of it, but it's only women, and then they wear like a traditional dress from Bahia, the northeast. It's like the big
maxi skirt.
Massive skirt. Yeah. And doing the spinning so that the thing sort of fluffs up and it looks amazing. And those two alas, when they go past, the sound and the you can feel the love. Like I'm getting like almost goose pimples just thinking about it right now.
Same.
Because is you just hear it. You hear
it. Like the celebrities that have been there like year after year,
but can't put it into words like the importance of it and how they're like revered in that situation, because it's like you're looking at the very essence of the school when you
like
see
you said,
those
the
two.
Soul.
Yeah,
they're really
the soul, because you know it hasn't just started overnight. Some of these groups are approaching 100 years old, and when you see like some of the age of the people in these alas, like 70, 80,
and they still come
and they're still
and
coming
represent.
And they're still representing, and they're still, you know, they're there, full three-piece suit on with a hat, parading down the Sambadrome, and it just puts it in a completely different context for you, like the significance of it all.
Salve.
Another group that I found.
Distakis.
Highlights.
Highlights.
Yeah.
I've read that they wear the most elaborate, the most expensive costumes. Who are these people?
I'm going to defer to Alessandra on this.
Okay. So these people many times are celebrities.
Right.
Yeah. Many times these people, maybe they are well known, you know, because like we said, this is an extremely expensive position. So mm-hmm. you need to have money.
Yeah.
You need to be somebody or know somebody to do that. Yeah. You know. So it's mainly that.
Where are they like placed in like the parade?
Usually,
yeah, probably open, isn't it? Or closing a section.
So they will have like a prominent position.
Yes.
Yes. So like in front. That's right. So like in front of an ala.
Or in top of a car or something like this. Yep. In a really like prominent place that everyone can see.
Mm. Okay.
And they, most of the time it'd be vibrant or, you know, you'd be attracted.
And then we obviously can't forget about the singers, right?
Mm.
Who sing the song that you have created throughout this year and, you know.
Pushadores.
The thing that I like about samba is that you can actually have women singers, and women singers are promoted as well.
Yeah, but actually it's getting better now. It's like the position and the strength and they start to be a bit more respected. Because before you couldn't really think about any pushadora.
No.
You know, now it's just happening.
More,
it's a lot more. But before, there is amazing singers in Brazil and they would be a famous singer. They would love to be there, or maybe the theme will be something to do with them and they will be singing. Mm. But they are not officially the singer from the school.
Yeah.
You know? So this thing is definitely changing. So it's pretty much similar everywhere in South America.
Things to work on.
Yeah. Things to work on, for sure. I mean, like, so Mangueira, one of their presidents decided, being one of the oldest schools, one of the most traditional as well, they had a very old rule, no women can play drums. Can shake, maybe you can play tambourine, no drums. No, like, snare drum, no bass drum. Nothing. That's, forget it. It's for the men.
I'm sure we can hit that drum. Ellie, I have an idea for us. I'll tell you later.
Oh, gosh.
We will form our school of samba, women only.
Ooh. Yeah. And then all of the men have to dance.
Yeah.
Yes, the men are dancing and we're playing all the instruments, right?
That's it. I think that's
fair. I like that.
I
like that.
I think that's fair.
But you have to wear the same costumes as the ladies.
Of course. I mean, that goes without saying.
Thank you.
Elevador é quase templo. Exemplo pra minar teu sono. Sai desse compromisso, não vai no desserviço, se o social tem dono, não vai. Quem cede a vez não quer vitória, somos herança da memória. Temos a cor da noite, filhos de todo açoite, fato real de nossa história. Hey! Se preto de alma branca pra você é um exemplo da dignidade, não nos ajuda, só nos faz sofrer, nem resgata nossa identidade. Social tem dono, não vai. Quem cede a vez não quer vitória. Somos herança da memória. Temos a cor da noite, filhos de todo açoite.
De alma branca pra você é o exemplo.
esse compromisso, não vai no desserviço. Se o social tem dono, não vai. Quem cede a vez não quer vitória. Somos herança da memória. Temos a cor da noite, filho de toda açoite. Fato real de nossa história.
Another group of people, it might be one person, but it's very significant. The flag bearer.
This is extremely important.
What is the meaning of this flag for the school? Is it like a country's flag? Or?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you've hit it on the head. Like, sometimes you will hear of schools being referred to as nations, like Nassau, like a nation. So it's absolutely the same kind of significance and importance. You don't disrespect the flag. You don't do anything kind of, it's a bit dodgy in the flag's presence. Like, it's that deep. You don't mess about.
Are there any like battles between different samba schools?
Another Brazil story of mine, but I basically already told it now, so it's fine. I wouldn't say it's like a school-wide thing. Like, this school hates this school. It's not usually like that, because at the end of the day, they all have the same pressures. They're trying to exist and survive in the same environment, so really they don't want to compete against each other, especially in the kind of climate, sort of politically, not to mention too much, but in the kind of climate that they're dealing with now. They're sort of reducing the funding for Carnival in Rio and for Samba, and it's something that is going to be like quite acutely felt, I think, in years to come, depending on how long the current administration stays in. It's a thing where like all of the Samba schools have respect for all of the other Samba schools. Maybe within them, there are divisions within certain groups that can spill out, but
it's still honorable.
A wide organizational thing. No, I wouldn't say there's any.
Okay. So we're keeping Prince Andrew standards. Great. We should follow this up with a song. So the next song that you guys have prepared is
Kizomba, Festa da Raça.
Alô, Elizabeth! Vamos Kizomba, gente! Valeu, Sumi! O vento forte dos palmares, que corre a terra, céus e mares. Oh, linda.
Now is the part that Brian has been waiting for the last hour and a half. And this is the music quiz. So we're gonna talk about the instruments in samba. So what we're gonna do now, I'm gonna play you 7 different sounds. Mm-hmm. And you need to guess the instrument and tell me a little bit about it. Okay, you guys ready?
Ready.
Do you know what that is?
Kasha.
Well done. What's kasha?
Snare drum. Mm-hmm. So I think the literal translation is box. Kasha de guerra, box of war. So like the military aspect of the drum is like military marching drum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, you see like this this example of the two worlds kind of being mashed together, like sort of European marching drumming band to the like married to like the African rhythm. And then the two come together.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Sound number 2. What's that one?
I think that was shakalia, like the shaking instrument.
Yeah, I think so.
Very, very good.
Okay.
Very good. That's quite a big instrument, right?
Mm.
How does it look like?
Well, you get to, I've seen like two sort of main different ways that they're kind of made, fabricated. So one is like all metal, and you'd get like three rows of jingles. I think maybe 4 jingles in each column, something like that.
It's a very precise description.
I'm trying to remember what it looks like. I'm really bad with like describing
like
things.
12 in total.
And
the,
yeah, so
the dimensions are
usually between the slabs. So yeah, like that's the sort of metal one. It's a little bit smaller. That's probably a little bit more modern. And then you have like the one you probably see most often is like wood.
So it's like a tube, right?
Yeah, it's like a wooden tube. It's carved out a single piece of wood, and then you've got like metal spikes on either side, maybe about 6 on each side. Well, 6 on a big one. And then again, jingles on those, and then you just shake.
With both hands.
Both hands, yeah. A lot harder than it looks to play. Everybody's all like, oh, yeah, stitch out, it's fine. And then they start and they go, oh, can't breathe.
Why? Is it because it's heavy or it's keeping the rhythm?
Yeah, you can keep the rhythm as well.
Keeping the rhythm, but all of the speed, every single note, every single time, no rest.
You need loads of
Stamina. Yeah.
And stamina as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you need coordination to any instrument.
True.
Anyway.
With any, every drum every that you drum. Have.
Please.
But that one, that one in particular, it's a good bicep killer.
Okay, I need that for the summer. I might start practicing now. Right, sound number 3 coming up. Just so you know, I think this is my favorite instrument so far that I've heard. And let's just listen to it first. Is it called also the monkey drum?
Yeah.
Because the sound sounds like monkeys, but I also saw a guy that made it sound like a dog barking.
Yep. Yeah, so it's the construction of the drum. So it's usually quite small. I don't think it's like a Brazilian instrument. I think it got brought over. Before it became like that small instrument that we know as the cuíca, it was much bigger, much lower, and it just sort of gradually got smaller as it became incorporated into like samba baterias, and you needed it to be portable. But it's basically like a metal frame, and then you have a hide skin, and then it's got like a little stick embedded in the skin, and you'll get like a damp cloth water or beer, whatever is around. Well, literally, I've seen people do it with like cachaça. It's just like, give it a cup. And they just start. It's
maybe it sounds
amazing.
Better, you know.
Maybe there's probably. Well, I did once hear a story of somebody, a Brazilian guy, who was going around selling special Cuico water, and of course it wasn't special. It was just water, but he branded the hell out of that, and wow. I think he made some money with his special Cuico water.
It must have sounded more Brazilian when you were playing it with that water.
Yeah, I think so.
Somehow, moving on to the sound number 4.
That would be agogo.
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 Which is?
Two bells. Well, actually, depends. In a samba score, you're probably going to find the four bell variation.
Really?
Like, yeah. So four, they're kind of like cowbells.
Mm-hmm.
All like sort of welded onto one handle. They will have like a melody. All of the bells are kind of tuned to a specific note.
Okay.
But the patterns that you play with them will make a really nice melody that sits on top of all of the like percussive sounds of the bateria. So it just adds that little bit of like sonic difference. You don't have all of, you've got the low sounds, you have like the mid sounds, like the cachas kind of driving it along. And then for decoration, you have the...
Can you play agogo?
Yes, I wouldn't. I mean, yes, I can play. There are some arrangements, though, that I probably couldn't, because there are insane arrangements. Like, so
I would think that this is one of the easiest instruments to play.
In terms of technique-wise, yes. But then what you would actually play, no. Because the sort of the lines and the melodies that are written for the agogo are like very, very technical now, anyway. Before, a lot more sort of looser, and you kind of just have to like freestyle, and you interact with the other instruments around you. Now it's a very heavily composed thing. It's all composed, really technical, very like, you know, it's sort of like motor skills, coordination, memory, all kinds
see
of stuff.
See, who would have thought? Anyway, sound number 5.
Pandero?
Oh, yeah, it's pandero.
Yes.
I was so confused, actually.
Yeah.
So many different drums.
Yeah.
Right, so what is pandero?
Pandero is like, it's probably the most familiar instrument you would see in a bateria. Now, it looks quite a lot like a tambourine. Like
yeah,
a normal
people
tambourine.
Call it tambourine. That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's very interesting, because whenever I teach in schools, and I'll often like sort of use it as a little thing. Be like, oh, what do you think this is? Oh, it's a tambourine. No, it's not. What?
Yeah.
And then you play and they're like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Is it different to tambourine?
Yes.
Yeah. Generally, I mean, I think the one in your example is probably hide skin again. So like animal skin, and usually like a wooden frame with the jingles sort of embedded in the frame. And you play with a mix of like turning and like hitting it with your hand. It's probably not a big fixture of like samba schools now. Definitely a much older, probably you would see them in like older baterias, like the first baterias.
Because it adds this like pace to the song, right?
Yeah, it's like kind of...
But more in groups, actually.
Not in the parade. You would have like one who was like a virtuoso of the pandero, could do like lots of tricks and stuff. But in terms of like adding to the music, you wouldn't hear much of it. There isn't like a pandero section, but in Roda de Samba, so like sort of a much smaller iteration of samba, all with like hand drums, the pandero is very important. And one of the like the most complete instruments in samba. You've got all of the high frequency, you've got all of the low frequency, and then you have all of the patterns as well that would get played on various drums. So very versatile instrument in the
samba. Do you play this instrument?
I do play this instrument.
Very good. A little bit different instrument this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
cavaquinho.
Beautiful. What is it?
Looks like a ukulele, but isn't a ukulele. Is not
What's
to be confused. The tuning. The tuning. The tuning is different. Also, the construction of the strings. So, ukulele tends to have nylon strings. A cavaquinho will have metal strings. And the tuning is different. I don't play guitar, so I can't tell you what the tuning is like, but I know it's the tuning is different. That's like the main harmonic instrument in the samba band. So
it gives you like this freshness of the sound, right?
Yeah.
It's like really sharp.
Yeah, not as very high frequency, not a lot of like bass in like you would have from like a guitar, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very high frequency and designed again so that you can hear it over the drums and you have a way to like identify where you are in the song.
Extremely important.
Maestro of music.
Yeah.
Impressive. Sound number 7, and this is the last one.
Maybe is one of the easiest instruments you play, in a sense, like...
In a sense, yeah. In a sense... You've got the least amount of notes, but then if you mess up any of those notes, you're just going to die.
Is it because you're the loudest on that instrument?
Well, yes, exactly. It's like the big bass drum. And there are a few different types as well. So the one in your recording is what's known as a third sudo or tercera. So that's like the busiest of all of the sudos. Does all of the tricks, very fancy. That's like in a battery, you see all of like the young, excitable guys will be playing that. Because
Do you need a lot of strength to play this? Or?
No, not necessarily. Not strength. Definitely coordination. But not necessarily strength.
Just
the drums are quite small.
Actually, it's not the big
area. Yeah, with the tercera is all right. But the primera and the segunda, the first and second, those are the big drums. That's
and
what
you carry
hear
them,
from
right?
a difference. Yeah,
carry them. But at the same time, it's not that heavy. You get used to it.
No, yeah, it's not so much the weight, it's the amount of time you have to hold it.
Holding it.
Yeah. And the size.
Yeah,
they're not usually
size,
heavy,
yeah.
but when you have to walk with something swinging around, it's a pain.
Yeah.
So like before I became mestre, I did all of my carnivals in Paraíso on like the primera. So it's like a 26-inch drum. So it's like it's a hefty drum. It's 20. Obviously can't see on a podcast.
Brian's showing us with
I'm
heads.
Showing you I'm showing I'm showing the people in the studio with my hands. So it's a serious drum, and it's the drum you hear before anything else, maybe the shakers you can hear from a distance, but that I like if you're
it's like the sound of a lion or like elephant stomping.
So important.
That's what you hear
yeah.
from a distance. You don't get a lot of the detail. You hear.
It's really the bass line.
Yeah. It's the heartbeat. It's the pulse. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the reason why it just cannot ever go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So like typically you see it's the most experienced people, the most solid people in the band will be playing those drums. They're like, no nonsense, I just want to hit the drum in the same place every single time. It's not going to go wrong. They're just the most metronomic people you're ever going to find. It's just always in the same place, same volume, same intensity.
How long does the parade last? How long do you need to play it for constantly?
In Rio, the top samba scores, Grupo Especial, 75 minutes. So hour and 15, yep. And then as you go down, that reduces slightly. So I think Grupo A is maybe 60 or 70 minutes, something in that region.
It's not a big difference.
It's not a massive difference, no. But it's more to do with the amount of people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So Grupo Especial, you're looking at 3.5, sometimes 4,000 people in one samba school. So they have 75 minutes to get everybody through the samba drone. And if you don't get through in that amount of time, then you get points taken off.
Really?
Yep. And then as you sort of go down, let's say the leagues, the samba leagues, the school size reduces, partly because of funding, partly because of popularity. And so they have less time to get through because there's less of them.
So you as like the, we call it your project manager, of the leader of the musicians, do you actually like check your watch, or is there like a massive clock that you need to kind of look at?
In Brazil, there's literally a massive clock. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's from the moment you step on, it starts counting down, and you have to be out of there by the time it gets to 75.
That makes it more stressful.
But at the same time, you need to enjoy, you need to sing, you need to smile, you need to have fun.
Yep.
Every single thing is counted. We can't just march like crazy.
No.
You really have to show the best you can.
Yeah. So for here,
it is an Olympic discipline.
I view it as, you know, I view it as something as like highly developed, as like a symphony. You know, the same kind of cultural importance people place on like Beethoven's Fifth, something like that. It's, you know, you can pick sambas out that are as meaningful, as influential to their genre, to their music as a whole, as mind-blowing to listen to as pieces of music. And it's not to be devalued at all, like any of the artistic preparation, the physical preparation, every different thing about it is like seriously, seriously well prepared. For us, we don't have the time constraint, but we have to think about our stamina a lot more, because our route is much longer. I think Samba Drum is maybe a mile. I think it's a mile long. I think our Notting Hill Carnival route's maybe 2 or 3 miles long.
You're walking, you're playing the instrument. Mm. You have to dance. You move way more, right?
Yeah, with heels.
With heels.
In my case, like I said, I'm now singing. So, yeah. You need to have lots of stamina. Carry on talking and singing and smiling. My God. Yeah.
This is actually really hard work.
It's honestly, you're not prepared. Like the first street rehearsal I did was actually this year. So I've been to Brazil before, but I'd never played in Brazil before. I didn't think I was ready. And when I went this year, I thought, okay, this year's the year.
Now or never.
I'm going to do it. And I think I have enough sort of contacts in place that I can be comfortable and I can do it. So I was playing Caixa at Imperio Serrano. This is when I went to Madureira. As a drummer, been playing samba for 10 years. When I first started playing, like, my fingers would blister because my skin wasn't used to the intensity and the rubbing of the stick. Maybe it's about 18 months of playing. Never had to worry about blisters anymore. Played to my heart's content, not worrying. 20 minutes into this street rehearsal, I could feel the skin softening on like my finger, and I was just like, wow, I've not had anything like this in years. But it was like, it was just really fun. But at the same time, I was understanding like just the insane leap in like volume, speed, intensity, everything about the playing. And I found myself like regulate how much energy I was putting out. It's like, okay, you really have to relax a little bit. You have to play, you know, you've got to play within yourself so that when the next big push comes, you can go with it. You're not going to be left behind. And it's something, I mean, I don't know whether people in Rio think about it in the same way. I definitely was, because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be like the gringo who can't play. So I need to make sure like I'm playing all
injured
of the time.
During rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was kind of putting the pressure on myself to not stand out, to kind of just for them to kind of sort of look at me, blah, like, yeah, whatever. He can play. It's fine. You know, and there were some moments when you can just feel like everything in like your arms just like starting to tense up. You have to like really breathe, like take in lots of oxygen to clear, like, you know, kind of all of the build up of like lactic acid and stuff in your muscles. And it's a very physical thing, and like you almost have to approach it like almost like a sport.
In some ways.
Yeah, like, I mean, of course, especially
properly.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't go into it underprepared. Like there's no way you could, like if you hadn't, let's say you used to played for many years and then you took a year off, you couldn't step straight back in to like a samba school. You just physically wouldn't be able to.
That's the difference, because for us, okay, we have a really long parade. That is different. It's not as intense, precise, technical.
It's not as fast. Yeah. We don't play as fast.
And there are no judges here, right?
Yeah, we do have some.
We do, but because...
Specific, because yes, it's not a Brazilian carnival.
Yeah.
This is a Caribbean carnival, yeah. Actually. We only have one Brazilian carnival in Europe at the moment.
Ooh,
the German one? officially, because the one we have here is
Caribbean.
So we are really happy and proud that they let us go in and win.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't
yeah.
let us, guys. We kind of
we took it.
We are good friends. But the difference between here and Brazil is huge.
There's
because,
like
he's saying, these 75 minutes?
Yes, 75, yeah.
Plus all the rehearsal?
Yeah. Honestly, sometimes you want to think, like, why mm-hmm. why do that to yourself? This year was my year. I was like, okay, I'm gonna take as much out of this trip as possible. I did five parades in total. So like four in a big like Sambadrome, and then one in what the Group B Carnival, which is held in a different place. But on the Friday, the Carnival Friday, so this was the first day of carnival, of the parades, and it was so wet. Before we actually got to the Sambadrome, there was this downpour. I think it was about 7 o'clock. I remember mm-hmm. so vividly, because I got out of the cab at like 7:16 or something like this. So got out of the cab, sort of go to where we're all congregating, and it's like, you know, it's raining, but it's like, you know, some English drizzle or something. Nothing intense at all. And then maybe about 10 minutes later, like being in a shower,
so
like much. Unbelievable. And it just didn't stop. It didn't stop for about, I mean, it was raining proper intensely for about half an hour, 45 minutes. In that time, like the road flooded, like the water level in the road
yeah.
got over the pavement. So like the water was coming up onto the pavement. We could see drains overflowing. The Sambadrome itself, they had to delay the parades by an hour because they had to like clear out the Sambadrome, because you can imagine it's like a road, but then there's like barriers right on the edge, not a lot of drainage, and it's a very, very smooth road. Even trying to approach that as a dancer in heels, just like, what on earth is this? And so I think we set off at about 11 o'clock on a Friday for the first parade, walked straight back and did it again for like another score. I think finished at about 4
wow.
the next one, and I was just completely dead, completely finished. And I was just, the whole time I was like, why did I do that?
Do you guys do this? Like, what feeling do you get just after this parade?
So much excitement in the end, yeah. happiness, I think.
Yeah, it's so euphoric to get to the end. I don't know, it's almost like you kind of like just bathe in, not in
the
your
glory.
Own glory, but yeah, it is that in a way, because you feel you get so much from the audience. Like mm-hmm. and then Ellis Angela says, like during the Queen competition, like, you know, you have people shouting for you, saying your name, you know, whatever. When you walk past, or sort of when you're in the parade, if you're lucky enough to be on the edge of the battery or near enough the edge of the battery, you can hear the people in the audience like singing the song. And if you're singing the song and they're singing the song, and you make eye contact, and then this joy, you've never seen this person before, but this joy just fills you up, because you're both like in this same place, this same space of like enjoying the song and that moment. So many words come to mind, like I want to say like liberating, like I want to say like otherworldly. It's so powerful when you can see what it means to like Brazilians,
people around you,
see
well.
the people around you, the people that really
it's
understand
like
the culture. It's real. I can remember like specific bits of certain parades. Mostly though, I remember like the moment we step on, and
when
like
we finish.
The moment we step off,
yeah.
and then everything in between kind of like just mashes into
yeah,
one.
It's like a dream
memory. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
After you definitely feel it, because your body feels
yeah,
so
yeah.
tired, you're
yeah.
like dead. But during the process, it's such a the energy is just amazing.
Right.
For
so
sure.
If a person like me, who has never tried the dance, playing any samba instruments, where can I go to learn and to be a part of the parade in the future? And possibly, you know, in 10 years' time, be the queen of samba. With your blessing, obviously.
Oh, yeah, so sure. Like I said, there's no barriers, or, you know, we just
None
need to
all.
Come and give 100%.
Yeah.
Leave your heart out on
That's
that.
It. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
On that Sambadrome.
Yeah.
Yes. We have regular classes.
Regular classes every Tuesday and Thursday. So if you're wanting to come before the year's out, classes on the 28th, the 3rd, and the 5th of December. Tuesdays are in Chalk Farm, Haverstock Hill School. Thursdays are in Brixton, the Brixton Recreation Centre. and we're on the 6th floor in Brixton. Tuesdays, 7:30 till 10.
That's
Thursdays,
right.
8:15 until 10.
Okay, perfect. So we will share all these details in the podcast description as well if you guys are interested in joining the Paraíso School of Samba. Where can we find you on Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram, I think we're Paraíso School of Samba. We're on Facebook as well. There's like a few different pages on Facebook. I'm never sure which one is the right one, but if you like, just join all of them. Paris and School of Samba. Yeah, like, look, search for us, you'll find us.
Have a look also in our website. We normally put lots of information there.
Yes, indeed. And if you're wanting to see like maybe if a class is too formal a setting, we do have a Christmas party as well on
the
10th. On the 10th, yeah.
10th of December, it's going to be in Floripa, Old Street. So yes, please do come.
Free of charge.
Yep.
Be amazing.
Will we be able to see both of you?
Yes.
Indeed.
We're going to be performing there.
Wow.
And the energy is extremely high, guys. You're going to have the opportunity to enjoy
and see the two royalties of Samba in London.
Yes.
So
socialize, it'd be amazing.
And be a part of that big movement. Outside of Brazil, but still having Brazil in the hearts, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, thank you so much again for coming, for being my guest today. It has been an absolute pleasure. And I have been joined in the studio, as I said, by two Samba royalties. So I've got the Samba queen, Rainha of Bateria, Elisandra.
That's 11, but so singer.
Still actual.
No, soul singer, guys. I'm also a singer. I don't know why my accent can go crazy. People, she's a soul singer. I thought she was a samba singer. No, I am also a singer.
So another Samba royalty, Brian, thank you so much again for sharing all your knowledge, experience, and I'll be definitely joining your group.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
We look forward to seeing you.
You
really do.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Vejam esta maravilha de cenário. É o episódio relicário que o artista, no sonho genial, escolheu para este carnaval. E o asfalto, como passarela, será a tela. Brasil em forma de aquarela, passeando pelas cercanias do Amazonas, conheci vastos seringais. No Pará, a ilha de Marajó e a velha cabana do Timbó. Caminhando ainda um pouco mais, deparei com lindos coqueirais. Estava no Ceará, terra de Irapuã, de Iracema e Tupã. Fiquei radiante de alegria quando cheguei na Bahia, Bahia de Castro Alves, do Acarajé, das noites de magia. Brasília tem seu destaque na arte, na beleza, arquitetura. Feitiço de garoa pela serra, São Paulo engrandece a nossa terra. Do leste por todo o centro-oeste, tudo é belo e tem lindo matiz. E o rio dos sambas e batucadas, de requebros febris. Brasil, estas nossas verdes matas, cachoeiras e cascatas, de colorido sutil, e este lindo céu azul de anil.